Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
True Crimers, welcome to Break the Case. I'm your host, I'm Jen Coffendaffer. I think we have a really good show planned for you today. This particular case, and the case we're going to be discussing, is Carmelo Anthony and Austin Metcalf. I want to give you the background of this case, and I will tell you, I've been following it from the day it happened. Why? I actually got a call before this ever hit the news because a friend of mine, well, actually, many friends of mine live in Frisco, Texas, and McKinney, Texas. Again, I hail from Texas. So you can imagine all the friends. And literally a friend texted me about this case before this ever broke in the news. So I knew about it very early and started researching very early. As an example, I have, I think, footage and things that I don't know. I'm sure other people have. I posted it very early on my Twitter in doing a background on Carmelo before all of his socials were stopped, and also on Austin. In addition, I actually do have, I saw somebody asking about, is there any video footage of the exact stabbing? And while I don't have that, I have, well, I kind of do. I have video footage, it's just from a distance. So this is one of these cases that I was just lucky that somebody I knew alerted me to this case early, and it allowed me to get a lot of evidence. And in fact, I did a show on this case. Now, this was when I was first starting, and I think only maybe 2,000 people even looked at that. I'm going to repost it and maybe even bring it to the top so that you can easily find it if you're looking for episodes on Break the Case, because that was right after it happened. And as you know, you can always get the best evidence right after a case happens. As time goes by, memories fade. I've been looking back at this case and really surprised at some of the notions in this case. So I want to start, though, with what happened, because a lot of people might not be tracking this case. We will be back on Nancy Guthrie tomorrow. I have the best case, or the best interview set up of an IgG scientist who works at a premier lab. He's going to talk to us about labs. He's going to talk to us about his thoughts on everything from taking the mat to where they're at in the process to predictions. The Nancy Guthrie case tomorrow is going to be really an important case, I believe. But today, and sorry, have something in my eyes again. And today, though, I really want to stay on this case. And specifically, this took place in Frisco, Texas. Now, Frisco, Texas, just to set the stage, is high end. Dak Prescott, who's the quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, lives there currently. Deion Sanders lived there. Multiple professional athletes live there. The mean income there is outrageous, even though housing prices in Texas as a whole are very low compared to places like Philly and Los Angeles. You know, in the Dallas area, they're much lower compared to other big metropolitan areas. But nevertheless, the houses there, I mean, you just drive by and, you know, million-dollar houses, and it's beautiful there too. Lush green, huge country clubs that are rolling in the distance. It's quite beautiful there. And so I just wanted to set the stage on where this happened, because I think it's important to understand what type of area this took place in. Because sometimes we have outside notions, you know, of stabbings and everything. Oh, this only takes place in low income, poverty stricken areas. And that's absolutely not true. And this is a good example of that. I want to bring up their pictures here. And I have so much picture, so much video we're going to go through today. So, yep, I'm going to be clicking away. But this is Austin Metcalf. He's in the yellow. I want to talk a little bit about him and about Carmelo, just generally speaking, before this all happened. So both high school athletes, both juniors, both 17. Austin Metcalf, who is the victim, he was a star linebacker. In Texas, look, everything's big in Texas. We started our oldest son playing. I know some people are just going to shake their head and say, how could you do that? And I understand. At three with tackle. That's where they start these mini camps. It's unbelievable. They're so small and they're running around in these little pads. They're so cute. But we started him very young, and he was on a actual very organized team by the age of, I want to say, 5 or 6. So we started out with like the little camps, and then by 5 or 6, my oldest son is big. Like, he is a tree trunk, a fire hydrant, big kid. My brother, one of my brothers, is a big kid, and he looks very similar. Nevertheless, he loved it, always loved it, played Division I for 5 years after he graduated. But that's neither here nor there, other than the fact that for those of you who watch the channel or who know me from socials, I am a huge sports fan overall, but I am a very specific football fan for my youngest son. Because I was retired, I was able to coach him 6 years. I was the head coach of his football team. So it's not something that I just passively watch for years, probably 4 or 5 years I've been involved in sports announcing. So it's something that I really love and understand. And when you look at these boys and what their lives were ahead of him, let me talk about Austin really quick. Stand out linebacker. I have a lot of photos of him, but essentially he would receive awards like Athlete of the Week, which is hard to do. There's very few weeks in a football season because it is so brutal. You know, it really only lasts from October, November, our playoffs, some games in August sometimes. But basically, it's about a 7-8 week season. So it's not a long season for high school athletes. So to basically be the MVP defensive season winner his junior year for one of the weeks is outstanding. And he was 6 foot tall, 200 pounds. He had, I believe, a very probable future ahead of him to play at the next level, Division One, Two, or Three, possibly Division One, especially if he continued to grow. He was just that kind of athlete. You can really see how they perform by watching their performances in Huddle, H-U-D-L. You might stumble across my son in there as well. And just, he was a standout athlete. I want to talk about, and I forgot about this, also stand out academically. He also in track through the javelin and the discus. So standout athlete. Not that that's what makes a person up, but I just wanted to describe what his passions were and what he cared about. Again, having two sons that are deeply engrossed in the high school football court culture in the past and currently. Both of these kids totally understand them and what possible futures could have been ahead of them. Now, Carmelo's a little bit different. Carmelo is 5'10", so just a couple inches under. There's been a lot made of that. Listen, he's 5'10". He's only 2 inches shorter than Austin Metcalf, but his body weight is 150 versus 200, so a much thinner built individual. And Carmelo, he was not the athlete. He was not the standout athlete. If you watch his film, if you look at his times, just wasn't. The 400 that he ran in 57 seconds was his quarter mile time, just to give you some understanding of that. That's, you know, not bad for a non-athlete, for somebody who would just go out there. I would call it very average. But a good time in the 400 would be a 53, and certainly below 50. Just to give you some reference, women, when I was in high school, I ran a 59. And women who were much better than me ran in the 58s. Again, just 1 second of time in a quarter mile is a huge amount of time, tenths of seconds in the slower races. So my point is, he was a very average track athlete, meaning Carmelo Anthony. His 100 time, which is really what schools look at, was even less. It's about, let me get the exact time he ran. And I know this because we're going, of course, through this process right now. So his 100 meter time was at 12:30. A great 100 meter time is, a decent athlete is going to run an 11.5, and an elite athlete is going to run under 11. Of course, you know, we see in the nines, right, in the Olympics. But basically, and then if you watch, he has a little bit of film that you can watch. You know, he's, I don't know if he ever would have progressed to the next level, but I'm not a recruiter. Maybe he would have. Maybe he would have gotten faster and better. But basically, you have here, just when we're talking about sports, an elite was Austin Metcalf, and an average, in my opinion, and this is opinion-based, was Carmelo Anthony. Now, you might be asking, well, what is that here nor there? Well, I think the only reason it's really relevant is when we're taking a really deep dive into Carmelo Anthony. Now, I want to say Carmelo had a 3.7 grade point average, according to what he posted. I have never seen his grades, but according to what he posted, and I know our team in the background is working on a particular clip that I really want to pull up. And it's of Carmelo's mother talking and of some of his highlights, because I want to present throughout this case a very fair representation of both people as people and as athletes and as what happened in this tragic, tragic, horrible, it's really not tragic, in this incident. And I say it's not tragic because it was purposeful. That's my opinion. What I really want to go through now are the facts, so everybody can kind of understand the facts. I just wanted to give everybody kind of a feel for these athletes and everything. So, and where they were. They went to two separate high schools. So one went to Centennial, that's Carmelo, and Austin went to Memorial, Frisco Memorial. So two competing schools in that exact same area there, but still, you know, beautiful area that they lived in. Carmelo, in this particular case, to go through the very specifics of what happened, is there are, for those of you who have ever been to a high school track meet, they set up these tents. And the reason they set them up is it is hot as Hades there. You have the sun, the Texas sun pouring down. And in this case, in this particular case, you actually had rain elements. In fact, this track meet was in and out of rain delays because it was raining. Now, track is a sport I grew up running it. That was my best sport, I suppose you would say. Certainly not my favorite sport, but certainly my best sport. I grew up running in the Midwest where it was freezing cold. And I tell you, we ran rain, sleet, snow. They would just get it off the track and we still competed. It didn't matter. And track tends to run that way unless there's lightning. It's kind of like football. You might be cold, you might be wet, but as long as it's not a downpour, they'll wait on that, which they did in this situation. As long as it's not a downpour, they're going to continue with the athletic event. These are huge high school meets. I mean, you have all of these people. These schools are gigantic. And they do not stop or postpone a meet because of a little weather. Or when I say postpone, they're not going to cancel it and reschedule. Now, they're going to postpone to wait for sun to come up or rain to shine less. And they're going to certainly, you know, manicure the track and the pit for, you know, high jump and long jump and those types of things. But the show must go on and the show goes on. But that's going to become important here. I'm going to play a clip that specifically talks about that. But essentially what happened was Austin Metcalf was in his team's tent. And these tents have everything from coolers full of water. They have food, breakfast bars. And it's really a place of commiserating with your team, right? Everybody's kind of, you know, people are stretching, people are smoking and joking, people are, I don't mean physically smoking, that's just a term, but they're bonding and they're, you know, talking about the upcoming meet and things like that. And so in this particular situation, Carmelo Anthony went into the opponent's tent. In other words, he was underneath the opponent's tent. And what he did underneath the opponent's tent, I don't know what he did other than be there, but we know from an affidavit that he was asked to leave by Austin Metcalf. Now, I want to go over a few details from the affidavit. Okay, let me go over just a few of those details. First of all, those details include Carmelo telling officers right there on the spot, "I did it." That's a quote. "I did it." So there's, oh, I should say what happened. I'm sorry. Let me say what happened, then I'll go into details from the affidavit that I think are important. And we're going to see what comes out in trial. But essentially, he's underneath there. By all accounts, Austin Metcalf asked him to leave. And by subsequent accounts, the witnesses said that Carmelo said, "Don't touch me." Let me get the exact quote because I don't want to misquote this. Carmelo says, "Touch me and see what happens." That's the exact quote. "Touch me and see what happens." And he had unzipped his bag, right? These kids have these little duffel bags where they keep, you know, the things they need for the meet, right? Their drinks, their change of clothes, new socks, whatever they want. And so he unzips his duffel bag and essentially says, "Touch me and see what happens." And then Austin touched him. And he, meaning Carmelo, took a knife and stabbed Austin in the heart, killing him. Immediately after that, Austin flees the tent. A lot of people don't even see it because everything happens so quickly. Austin's twin brother is there. They look almost exactly alike. I have a bunch more pictures I need to get up here. But they essentially, what happens is he leaves. Carmelo takes off running at, right after the stabbing. And Austin does not die right away. he sadly dies in the arms of his twin brother. It's just awful. I mean, it was not a quick death, because basically he had to internally bleed out. And, you know, even when your heart is not pumping, blood is circulating, blood is in your brain, and it takes a little while before. That's why when you do CPR, you can get it pumping back in, but you don't just die. I mean, you still have blood that's oxygenated in your head and oxygenated through the other parts of your body. So you don't just die because your heart stops. And you can imagine this heart is still going. It's just slowly bleeding out. And the account of his brother is going to be heart-wrenching, because again, he was right there and it was his twin brother. Carmelo runs, and this is from the affidavit. So he runs and they find the knife in the bleachers. And I have so many more pictures. I'm waiting for a few to come through. But the pictures of the tents and everything that are up in these bleachers. But essentially, he takes off running. And he ditches the knife in the bleacher. He's arrested close by. And he tells officers upon arrest, he says, "Listen, I did it." That's a quote. And he offers up straight away that it was self-defense. So he says, you know, it's self-defense. And this was interesting, I think, to some officers, because he hadn't been questioned. But that's what he said. So you could find that interesting or not interesting. But nevertheless, that is what he said, and these are the facts. Let me give you a few other facts from the affidavit. He said he did it. Carmelo stabbed Austin and fled. The murder weapon, which was a knife, was found in the bleachers. Carmelo told police it was self-defense prior to being questioned. According to witnesses, Carmelo opened his bag and said, "Touch me and see what happens." So you can kind of picture it there. Boom, touch me, see what happens. Carmelo was under the tent of Austin. Again, Austin asked him to leave. Carmelo had pulled his knife out of the bag that he had unzipped and again stabbed him in the chest. Carmelo, after he was arrested, was subsequently charged with murder. His bond was at $1 million. And there was a bond hearing held later, and they reduced the bond for Carmelo Anthony down to $250,000. And so $250,000. Which you only have to pay 10%. So $25,000 was posted. And he has been on house arrest with an ankle monitor since the incident. A lot of people were up in arms around that, obviously saying he's a danger to the community, which the two prongs are danger to the community or flight risk. I agree with the court that there's no flight risk here. He just at 17 would not have had the means to flee. His family was there in Texas. He had siblings. His parents were also there. But danger to the community, that could be argued, because we all know people on ankle monitors flee from those all the time. But nevertheless, the judge ordered the reduction and basically saying you're going to be able to get out. And he cited some reasons for this that I think were really important. Some of the reasons he cited was that Carmelo Anthony hadn't been arrested before. He had not had a criminal record. And judges consider that, you know, had he been in trouble with the law before? and he hadn't. So for this reason, the judge said that essentially.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
You get a get out. And he has never had a problem being out on bond all this time. So I will say that. Never any issue. Also, I want to say, again, according, not to the grades I've seen, but according to what he posted on Huddle, Huddle is where you keep track of your football stats and you can post different, you can post film footage and things. He had a job at HEB. He also had another job at the Foot Locker, meaning Carmelo Anthony. So he was, by many accounts, a good kid, if you will. But there's some things I found. I don't see anybody really talking about it. I found this early, right after it happened. Like I said, before everything kind of ended up disappearing. And I'm going to post that. But first of all, I'm going to post a little bit more on Austin Metcalf. Oh, I'm sorry. So what? So where are we at today? I should also say where we're at today. So he gets arrested. He's out on house arrest. The reason we're talking about this case is because on the 1st of June, jury selection began, and the jury has now been seated. And this morning, as we speak, there are opening statements that are being made. Now, why aren't I posting this? Why aren't I? I want to, but I can't, because this trial will not be televised. In fact, the judges said it's not going to be streamed. Some judges decide to allow one stream go through their courthouse and then it can be disseminated to make sure that things are under control. He's not offering that either. He has the public that is allowed in the courtroom. And reporters are allowed. Everybody's allowed. They're just not allowed to stream it. And the reason is he does not want another OJ or Karen Reed type situation of it just becoming a hot mess. Now, I have mixed feelings on this before as a FBI agent. And knowing in federal court, no federal trials or court proceedings are televised. That's the way it rolls. And knowing that and working in that environment where it was never a circus environment like I see now, I really appreciated that because it's an opportunity for both sides to give their sides of the story before jurors. And it's not a situation where you have jurors having to have a mess in the courtroom, dealing with people in shirts and having parties and being ridiculous, and outbursts and all sorts of issues that can happen when you have a situation like this streamed. You're going to have more and more people know about it. And now instead of a short protest, small protest, you're going to have a bigger one. Let me show you what's going on outside of the courtroom now. This might have been from yesterday. This was from yesterday, I believe. Here we go.
Love, respect, and peace as our peace.
Sorry, let me start from the beginning.
Love, respect, and peace, that's us.
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 So this is, you know, what some jurors are going to be seeing. And believe me, all you have to do is look at this on social media and you can see it is something. all mainstream media is carrying this to some degree or another. I know this area, like I said, inside and out. I was just there last week. And this is a very quiet, suburban, people playing tennis, people playing golf, people going to their high-end jobs in the techno world and these beautiful buildings that are there, kids going to school. The demographics are, it is about 12% Black, about 48% white, and then the rest is, you know, mixed, right? Asian, Middle Eastern, all the other, but you have this contingent, and I have to say it's fairly small, and each day it's been out there. And I want to be fair, and I don't have this footage because I did not get it downloaded. But I've also seen pictures, and I need to get this. And as we keep track of this case, I've also seen footage on the other side, right? People talking about the, you know, white side of it. And so I've seen both. Okay. I don't have any footage, like they're not on megaphones and doing all that. And thankfully, I was able to get this footage downloaded for today. And I have a lot of other footage coming in that we're going to talk about. But essentially, you guys can see this is a powder keg. I think you can see that. This is a powder keg. The only redeeming quality of it is it literally is so far away from Dallas. It's in Dallas, but it's really not. It's a suburb. It's so far away. You have to do a lot of driving. I want to say from downtown, it has to be without traffic. I mean, with traffic, the commuting traffic is well over an hour. But without traffic, I think you could get there in 30 minutes. In Texas, you can drive 80 miles an hour. I think the speed limit is 70, 75. It's crazy on the highways. But in all seriousness, it's a ways out there. And I think that that's good because most of the people in this community, they are going about their lives. This is the Collin County Courthouse, which is actually in McKinney, Texas. So Collin County is the county where this happened at, even though it happened in Frisco at this stadium. So nevertheless, this is really, I'm going to show you my central point with this clip that I'm going to pull up right now. And this is Austin Metcalf, the deceased. He's dead. He stabbed him. He died. This is his father speaking. Take a listen.
And this is not a...
Hey, wait a minute. Start from the beginning.
I want to clarify something right off the start because I've already heard some rumors and some gossip. This was not a race thing. And this is not a political thing. Please do not comment if you do not know what happened. Do not turn this into a racial thing. It was not. Do not politicize this. It's not. This is a human being thing. This person made a bad choice and it affected both his family and my family forever. It's a very unfortunate thing, but I know exactly what was happening. His brother was there who tried to save him. And he died in his arms.
So
if you weren't there, please don't spread rumors.
And I love this clip. And I love the father. The father's always been remarkably calm through all this. Like, I mean, the mother's been very upset. I would be so upset. But his point, and this is the point I'm trying to make, this is not about race. This is nothing to do with race. This is to do with a kid, Carmelo Anthony, that decided to pull out a knife on somebody unarmed at a track meet and stab him to death. That's what this is about. A human to a human. I don't care if Carmella was black, white, Asian, Hispanic, purple. I always say that crime should be nonpartisan, because I don't care what side of the aisle you're on, you should not want people committing violent crimes. And it's not racial. Shouldn't be. Now, that's not to say, you know, there are so many hate-related crimes. That's just not what we're talking about today. There is no evidence that we know of anyway. So far, we'll see if something comes out, that Carmelo, that this was race-driven. Oh, I'm going to go into the tent and find a white kid and kill him. To me, what was this was about, from everything I've researched, from the affidavit, from everything I've seen, this is about bravado. This is about Carmelo Anthony making a decision to go into another team's tent, which I'm not going to say that doesn't happen, because I'll tell you what, having been in this environment, and this is why I kept trying to bring this up, and I spent probably way too long talking about both of their backgrounds and their sporting backgrounds and things like this. You meet at games, right? You meet since you're little. Remember I told you about my son starting in these camps when he's three? Well, he did that with all the kids, three, four, five, all these years up. All these kids do that. They play on teams that have nothing to do with their school representation when they first start, because they're in grade school, right? So they get them all together. They have programs, like there's one called PAL. There's other, all these football programs, and they get people woven together that normally might not know each other. So in other words, and then later, because of lines that are drawn, right? Again, same city, but Carmella went to Centennial and Austin went to Memorial, but still in the same city. But they could have they didn't intersect. There's no information that they knew each other, but I'm telling you, these kids intersect. So I just want to point out that it's not completely crazy that Carmella would have been in this tent, because he could have had friends or intersected with people that he knew from Memorial High School. That happens. I mean, it's not like these tents, there's walls up and you know, don't come in unless you're from Memorial. That isn't really how it works. But typically, 99% of the time, you only have your folks in there. The other folks don't want to be in there. They're with their people. They're with their team, and they're not looking to be with other teams. So do I find it slightly odd he was in the tent of Austin's Memorial School? Yeah, I find it a little bit odd, but I just want to say it's possible that he knew somebody in that tent. We're going to find out, and that he was drawn to that tent, right? That he was drawn to that tent because of somebody he knew. Okay. Now, again, the father says this is not about race. Back to what my point was, is that to me, this is about bravado. This is about what young men do sometimes. So Austin, for whatever reason, and maybe we're going to hear about it. Maybe he didn't know. Maybe he didn't know anybody in that tent. And he's walking around getting drinks or eating or whatever. And everybody's going, why is he in here? I don't know, but we're going to find out. And everybody's like, what are you doing in here? And Austin, again, only 2 inches in height different, but their weight is different, 200 versus 150. Austin says, and I'm going to give you the exact words, because I want to make sure this is one of these cases. You want to make sure everything is precise. Austin tells him to leave. He tells him to leave. And Carmelo says, touch me and see what happens, and opens up his gym bag. Austin touches him. I don't know whether it's a push. My understanding is he touches him and he grabs out his knife and stabs him to death, runs, throws the knife up in the bleachers, He's found. He tells police right away, I did it. And then he also tells them it was self-defense. I want to show you, though, a couple of things I found. And again, for those just coming in, I'm going to put up also where you guys can see it. It's another live, but it was from when I first started and I wasn't doing anything daily. It was more like once a month, twice a month, no months. So very early on, and I mentioned this, I knew about this case, not because of the media or the news. I knew about this case because my friend lived there and called me and said, can you believe this? And I said, wow. And so before social medias went down or anything, I was able to get a lot of stuff. So I want to talk a little bit about Austin first. This picture is flying around social media. Okay, these are the twins. Austin is a twin. Austin, after he was stabbed, his brother was there, who's also an athlete, as you might imagine. They both played on the same football team. Both were involved in a lot of hunting and track, and they were athletes. Now, for those of you not from Texas, Texas is a hunting state. There are so many places to hunt. There are these expansive places to hunt. And I'm just telling you, these are hunters. I'm looking at them. They got the full thing on. And this is a big, big Texas thing. It's big in a lot of areas, but Texas, a lot of boys hunt. This is not unusual. And then I want to further, so you don't think, yeah, this was just posing. I found this picture, right? This is a kill. Now, some of you may be completely against this, but nevertheless, he's a hunter. They hunt. And that's a fact. Now, before Carmelo's went down, I found this. And I know many of you know that my background, I spent 10 years in Texas, embedded in the gang unit. So gangs are my thing. And this is, in my opinion, whether it's a wannabe, because it might have just been a wannabe, there's a lot of wannabes, but there is no doubt in my mind that, again, whether this is wannabe or not wannabe, this is a vice lord hand signal. I'm not talking about this. This is a flip off. And this really concerned me. Then I found out this, and I'm going to read it to you. This is from a reporter. Okay. So it was reported by ABC News. Oh boy. I hope I have it here. Sorry, guys. I want to read it verbatim. Here it is. Okay. Oh, sorry. Not ABC. CBS. CBS 11 reported this. So per them, CBS News Texas has learned from law enforcement sources involved in the investigation of 17-year-old Carmelo Anthony, the suspect in the murder of 17-year-old Austin Metcalf, had previously been suspended for bringing a knife to school. Law enforcement sources tell us that 17-year-old Carmelo Anthony should have been in class at Centennial High School and was skipping school yesterday when he allegedly stabbed Austin Metcalf following the altercation. And they've called Frisco ISD to confirm. So will we hear about that in court? Will we hear about this? I don't think we will, and I don't think we will because I think that they will call that too prejudicial. So unless they could say that this was, you know, gang related in that way, I don't think they'll be able to call it. And, but it's something to consider in terms of motive. Some of these folks that are on the peripheral want to be bad. They want to be bad to the bone, and they want to establish street cred. Now, I don't have any information that can tell me that that is true. I just don't have it. All I can tell you is that I see, when I see this, I see things that tell me that he might have been a wannabe and might have been hanging around the wrong people. I don't know for sure, but it's something law enforcement would have looked into. Whether they will be able to bring that in, to me, there is no way to bring that in unless somebody he was associated with, you know, if he was a vice lord wannabe, another vice lord wannabe, or a vice lord that's been indoctrinated to the gang, that would only happen if somebody corroborated that, yeah, they had all talked about it and he was going to do something like this purposefully. In other words, not race related, but to establish credibility. I want to show you, I think, an important clip on Carmelo, because I want to be extremely fair at showing both sides of everything of Carmelo. So I'm going to bring this up. His mom is in it, and I think it's a super important clip as we're looking at this case. Thank you so much to my team, by the way, for getting this together for me.
Have seen this photo of Carmelo Anthony at 17 years old, charged and booked for murder. But there are also these photos, the eldest of four Anthony children.
We wanted to give our children the future we did not have.
Through his family, we know they left Baton Rouge, Louisiana a few years ago, settled here in Frisco, where he attended Centennial High School.
Carmelo Anthony, class of 2025, Centennial High School, Frisco, Texas.
He ran track, played football, and was captain of the team.
What's the number one scene?
His highlights showcasing that talent are still up online. We've learned Carmelo Anthony worked two jobs, was an AB student before the April 2025 stabbing incident at a track meet. It would take him out of school and turn two families' lives upside down.
He's been raised in a two-parent home with structure, stability, love, and we put God first in everything that we do.
Sources close to the family say Carmelo was able to graduate and receive his diploma, but he did not walk the stage or participate in any senior activities.
Explain your self-defense.
There hasn't been another public photo or video of Carmelo since he disappeared into this SUV and into house arrest. His bond conditions prevent it. Carmelo is now 18 years old, and the next time we see him is when he gets his day in court. In McKinney, I'm Jobin Puniker.
Make sure you've downloaded our free streaming app to your TV. We'll bring you extensive coverage of the trial.
So I thought that that was a very, I want to be balanced, a very balanced view, right? I'm giving you both sides of the pancake. You have that view. You have these parents. Listen, I also found it interesting. That they moved from Louisiana. Now, that could have been a job. We know that she was a stay-at-home mom, and the father, Carmelo Anthony's father, was in car sales. Typically, car sales aren't, you know, something you get transferred for. You can get a job as a car salesman, car manager, anywhere, because that's just kind of one of those jobs that when you're in sales, you can transfer, you can go other places. So I got to tell you something that just stuck out to me. They moved in 2021. This happened, just a couple of years after that. And when I looked at that, I just thought it was interesting, right? Because he has all these siblings and moving and blah, blah, blah. Like I said, there could have been nothing that happened in Louisiana. Maybe everything was perfect, and they just decided to move all these four boys away. But that was kind of the first thing, other than if it's a transfer of a parent. In other words, they're with a huge company and they're transferred. And that isn't my understanding here. I found that not suspicious, but something I would want to understand. I would want to go back to Louisiana and find out, because this is the thing.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And this is the thing that I know bothers a lot of people. You have a kid, according to his statement, an AB student, who was a captain of his track and football team from my research, who played sports, maybe not a standout athlete, but a good athlete. And you have a situation. Why? Why does a kid who, on the surface, flying right, making good grades, working at the HEB, working at the Foot Locker, new to this area. And I'll tell you, for those of you who have moved, we moved our kids 8 times. And it's always tough when you moved. You know, my husband and I talk about this all the time. He moved more than me, I think 14, and I moved like 8 or 9. You know, we just moved a lot because of job situations for my parents and divorces and all sorts of other problems. But when you have that, you have to start all over. And it is tough. It is tough. And it builds a lot of character. And so I just wonder what type of impact this move might have had on him from Louisiana. Did he have problems in Louisiana? What was going on? Nevertheless, they moved there. And again, we have these reports. Social media I found very interesting. It's down now, but I grabbed this right after it happened because, again, a friend called me and told me about this going on. So I went into Austin's, I went into his, I was like all over this crazy thing. And so again, do I think these will be brought up in court? No way, they're too prejudicial unless they can somehow try to show this as a part of motive if it was like trying to get street cred. But to my knowledge, there's no proof of that. I haven't seen any proof of that. But you got to wonder, why was he suspended from school for a knife incident? That, I think, will be brought up. Absolutely will be brought up. Because that gives us a lot of reflection as to what was boiling. This is the thing. You do not, in my opinion and in my experience, you do not go from this to going into a tent at a track meet and stab someone. You just don't do it. It makes absolutely no sense that out of the blue, with no issues, with nothing happening underneath the surface that we couldn't see, right? This is what we're seeing. This is what people were seeing. But he's dead. And this guy, concealed in a duffel bag a knife. And this guy pulled open the zipper. And this guy said, and I read it from the affidavit, "You touch me." And gosh, I keep wanting to say the exact words. I think it's, "You touch me and you're going to get it." But I want to say the exact words that were said. The exact words that were said were, "Touch me and see what happens. Unzip, hand there, ready to roll. Touch me and see what happens. Austin touches him. I don't know whether it was a touch. I don't know whether it was a grab at the arm. I don't know whether it was a push. I don't know. We're going to find that out. But he touched him. And Carmelo pulled that knife and stabbed him right in the chest, killed him. He died in his brother's arms. What I'm saying to you is this doesn't happen overnight. You cannot bring a knife to a fist fight. In other words, just say that he pushed him, shoved him. Carmelo can't pull out a deadly weapon and kill him. He's defenseless. He's unarmed. Can't do it. Now, could he have left, gone to school officials, and said, "Hey, listen, I want to make a police report. I went into this guy's tent. He asked me to leave. I didn't leave. I told him, don't touch me. He touched me." That's a battery. That's how you handle it. I told you, and for those coming in late, you might not have heard, but I told you about him being suspended from school for a knife incident. I'm showing you his social media. My point is, what we saw here doesn't add up. To killing Austin Metcalf underneath that tent. Again, the early reports were that he wasn't even in school, like he was playing hooky and was over at this track meet. I will say this, we're going to find out. But this should have never happened. And again, this isn't about race. This, to me, is going to turn out to be about a kid that was boiling over and looking for a fight. Because you don't unzip your bag that has a knife in it, and you don't say, "Watch what happens if you touch me," if you're not looking for a fight. He killed this kid right here. He stabbed him and killed him because this kid touched him. And we're going to find out, was it a push? I want to hear that. In the affidavit, it says a grab. You know, grab. So I just want to say, I want to bring home, and I've got a few more videos here, but I want to bring home the fact that something was going on below what we see here. Something was going on. I really wish we could watch opening statements. I'm going to be reporting on Twitter about this every single day. I can tell you, I truly believe that Carmelo Anthony's family is certainly grieving. But I can tell you something else. I want to show you who his family got right after the incident and what that person had to say about the incident on behalf of the family, because I think it's pretty important. Let me pull this one up. Hold on, because it's a head shaker.
I'm trying to find how many of y'all have asked the superintendent or one single board of trustee, why didn't you cancel or postpone? With weather in that magnitude, you couldn't have a track meet in rain or thunderstorm or clouds. Y'all are the media. Ask your journalists, your weather journalists, how the weather was that day in that time. Y'all do that research. Because as a person who is the administrator of your children, you are responsible for the safety of the children. And so it seems as if Frisco ISD is trying to push this off.
All right. I don't know what your impressions are. Again, this is the family in the background. I don't know what your impressions are, but when I see this, total, complete money grab. This guy, I have to do a separate show to talk about this sport, this guy, because he's in so much trouble and he's a hot mess anyway. But they hire this guy to come out on behalf of the family. And what does he do? He talks about how this basically shouldn't have happened because they should have canceled the track meet. What do you think they're going after? They are going to sue. If they haven't already, I haven't seen it filed. They're going to sue the district. And maybe they already have. I literally have not done a FOIA request for any of that. That's what they're going to do. That's what this sets up. You don't have a track meet in, what do you say, clouds, rain, thunderstorms. So I've already talked to you about you do. This is a sport where you do that. It's different if you're talking about baseball, right? Football, track, you can't have it when there's lightning, but you wait for the lightning to clear. And as soon as it clears, you brush off that track, which again, it absorbs that water and you're out there running. I was a track athlete all through high school. I can 100% tell you, and have been to many track meets on behalf of my children. You run when it rains, when there's sleet, blah, blah. This is a money grab, people. That's all this was, to lay the ground. Why did they have that track meet when it was raining? That's why many of them, by the way, were in their tents, getting ready. Anyway, that's all I want to say here. I just want to make it clear. And this is just one. Believe me, I could put up so much more. But this piece of it, this piece was an absolute money grab. How much money has been paid so far? In my research, it could be more, because a lot of times there's other forms of playing. But in the give, go, send, because you can't use GoFundMe for a murder suspect. So give, go, send, they've raised $600,000 for his defense. Facts. After that money was raised, and as that money was being raised, they moved to a just under $1 million home in a gated community that they leased from their other home that was not in that type of a neighborhood. And I say that because I want to give you both sides of the pancake. Their side was, listen, we were being harassed and we had to go find a place and be in a gated community. So we had to pour out that money. Okay. Again, she's stay at home. They have four kids. I absolutely respect that so much, that she was a stay at home mom taking care of the kids. The father was by all accounts a manager at a car lot, sold cars for a living. And, you know, the bottom line is they had an income and it got raised to 600,000. And part of it was for legal representation. Now, I want to tell you this, they have a great attorney. A lot of people have saying that Jen, didn't he have a public defender? So I want to get rid of that concern. In other words, they need money to pay their defense attorney. And I should have actually put up a picture of their defense attorney. Their defense attorney is an interesting guy. He actually has a lot of videos out. You should watch him. I think he's interesting. I wouldn't mind having him on the show because he's very articulate and he's an interesting guy. And quite frankly, I think he's a pretty dang good attorney because he got $1 million bond reduced to 250, which basically was like a free get out of jail free ticket, right? They didn't have to take 500,000 to pay it out of their 600,000. They only had to pay 25,000. So he did a great job of getting his client out of jail for the duration of all of this. I want to give you his name. I'm just pulling it up. I'm really doing an in-depth job here on this one. And I really hope you can watch the one I did a long time ago when this first happened, days after this first happened. I remember, I think I did breaking news, which I normally don't do, but I did that because I had that inside information. There's no sound on here. Hopefully there's sound. NYPD says no sound. Maybe they mean from this. Yeah, I already put that up. But the attorney's name, and again, seems pretty darn good, is Mike Howard. He was actually in 2021 voted to be one of the top lawyers in all of Dallas. And that was for 2016 to 2021. So for 5 years, he received that. And it was from D Magazine. And D Magazine, I have a lot of respect for when it comes to that. I know they do that this with lawyers and doctors and all sorts of things. And living there, I can tell you it's respected when you get a D Magazine endorsement. He's good. I think he's pretty good. And I want to see Carmelo have a good attorney. Carmelo needs a good attorney. He needs a good attorney because he said he did it. That I'm telling you, that fact isn't going to be in dispute. The facts are going to be he told Austin not to touch him. Austin grabbed him. He had pre-opened up. And whacked him right into the chest, killed him, ran, ditched the knife in the bleachers. Remember, all of that is consciousness of guilt, but it's not going to matter. It's not going to matter other than showing that if Carmelo Anthony thought he had done something right, why do you run? I'm going to give you an example. There's a case that I had as an expert witness. And it involved, I'll give you just generally, even though it's been adjudicated, there's appeals still going on. I'm just going to give you generally what happened. An individual was standing there, and another the individual standing there was about 5'5", 5'6", chubby, and huge guy, 6'3", 240, absolutely in amazing shape. Like, this is who you want on your defensive line. Well, you need somebody a little bit bigger. But in high school, he would have made an all-star looking defensive end, 6'3". The 6'3" guy started pummeling the 5'6" kid. You know, haymakers. The 5'6" kid is knocked down. Little fuzzy whether he was knocked completely out or just completely dazed. The one getting pummeled, and then that person also hit his girlfriend and hit another person. He, or another friend of his, there's only four of them there. He is armed, legally armed, has a permit, very well practiced. And he takes out his gun and he shoots a shot as the guy comes at him again. In this case, right after he shot him, he ran over to the person he shot. He immediately started CPR. Immediately tried to help the person he had just shot. He believed in every possible way that he was defending himself and his girlfriend from being beaten severely. And he didn't think he did anything wrong. Carmelo Anthony stabs, takes the knife with him, runs, ditches the knife in the bleachers, and continues to run, everyone. Now he's caught. He says, "I did it. I did it." And then, according to the affidavit, says, "Oh, but it was self-defense." And I don't mean to be flippant. I shouldn't say. He says it was self-defense. Usually people who commit self-defense don't run, because they don't think they did anything wrong. When people run, that is one of the number one indications to law enforcement, to juries, to prosecutors, to attorneys, that they are showing consciousness of guilt. They knew they did something wrong, and they took off running. So I think that's a problem for him, but he admits it. That's not going to be a point of contention. I really cannot wait to see what all was said in the opening statements. But he left Austin Metcalf bleeding out in his brother's arms. Died right there, this big kid in his brother's arms. It's a terrible case, horrible. I don't know what will be decided. This jury will decide, but I want to talk about the jury a little bit, because this is something that's really racing around right now. The jury has been selected. There were 600 people in Collin County. And those 600 people were made up of what I would believe would be a cross-section of Collin County citizens. So we already went through that. There's essentially about 49,000 Caucasians, 12%, I'm sorry, not 49,000, 49% Caucasian, 12% Black, and then the other percentage is made up of all the other, Asian, Native American, Arabic, all the other ones, okay? So what happens here is when they all come in, you have 600, you can only pick 18, right? 12 that sit on the jury and 6 that are your alternates. So that percentage, and I need to pull it up. I did all these percentages earlier. That percentage, I believe, is only 3% of the 600. That was my math. So if anybody wants to check me, but I'm pretty sure I did the math right. So just to go through this, 600, so 12%, just say statistically speaking, it's all in line. That would mean that 12% of 600 is 72 people. So if statistics fall in line, of the 600 people, there would have been 72 Black men or women for jury consideration. Only 3% of the 600 are going to be chosen. So if you're strictly going by statistics and how possible it would to be to get a Black juror, I believe it would have been about a 12% probability. Again, that's making the determination that statistics hold true, and there were 72 in the 600 to even choose from. And for those of you who know about the jury process, you can't just pick people not to be, you can actually, you have what they call strikes that you don't have to give any reason whatsoever for. You can just strike them. You don't have to give a reason. Both sides get that. So you have a certain amount of strikes you can do. But other than that, there has to be a cause. In other words, you should see that. I'll give you an example. So there was this trial that I was in. His name was Fazel Karim. And Fazel Karim decided to try to sneak 32 razor blades onto an American Airlines flight right after 9/11. I think, and I testified as a test case. I don't think he was going to use those then. He was definitely, in my opinion, and I testified to this, a terrorist, and he was planning an attack with others, and this was the test case. This is why I bring this up. So the defense attorney for Fazel, and this is in Texas, and he's talking to all these potential jurors, and he says, so listen, you know, 9/11 just happened, thousands of people killed. How many of you in here have any issue with somebody from Arabic descent? Because this guy, by the way, on trial, he didn't say this. I'm telling you this. The guy on trial was a poster boy for Al-Qaeda. Like how he looked. Look up Fazel Karim. The mustache, the beard down to here, blah, blah. And a guy stands up. He shouldn't have even had his cowboy hat on in a courtroom, but stands up. He's this big old guy, white guy. And he says, I hate all of those. And says a racial slur, you know, whatever, camel jockey, whatever he said. I don't think it was that nice. And he says, and I think they all should be out of this country. Words to that effect. He sits back down. And then the defense attorney, of course, is a totally logical and understandable sentiment. Anyone else in here, anyone else in my jury pool that thinks along these lines? You see my point? He is going to be stricken for cause, not because he's white, for cause, because he just got up and he told everybody in court that he cannot be unbiased. And they ask these questions. Are you biased toward law enforcement? Are you biased toward Black Americans? Are you biased toward football players, toward track people? Are you biased toward people from Louisiana? Are you biased toward people who wear their hair a certain way? Blah, 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 blah. This is how you strike somebody for cause. Then you also have a situation whenever you're choosing. Literally, most people don't want to do jury duty. They will tell you, listen, I have a babysitter. I can't get him to stay past this amount of time. They will tell you they have an important, you know, something due for work. They will beg and say everything they can think of to get out of jury duty. Now, I'm not saying any of the Black males and Black females that were on of the 600 that did that. I'm just telling you they all, I don't care race, color, creed, they all, there's going to be a huge percentage that want out for that reason, because they have personal issues. They've got vacations planned. This is in the summer that they don't want to be on. My point is I should tell you this, they chose an all-white jury. So of the 12 people that are going to be sitting there and the six alternates, there is not one Black African-American. And a lot of people. Oh, good. Court TV is streaming it. Oh, I'm very curious what Court TV has to say. They said no cameras. Gail Magenti, let me know. I'm curious. Because if they're streaming it, this is going to be great. I may even stream it. Wow, they're streaming it. This is great. Oh, I can't wait to see all they have to say. Nevertheless, the jury is not, there aren't African Americans on the jury on this one. And facts, unless they can show that there was some prejudice in some way, there is no possible way to say that, there's no possible way to say, or to, you know, get a new trial or something. You know, there's no, you don't get a new trial just because you were tried by a different race than you are. Okay, I didn't think so. They very specifically said no streaming, no cameras. So unless there was a new ruling that just came out while I'm doing this, there's nothing to do with that. So anyway, the bottom line is, unless the defense can somehow come back and say that purposefully the prosecution or there was something done and they can prove that it specifically was based on race, that different jurors were not selected, it doesn't matter. It happens all the time that you have all white juries seeing cases on Asian Americans and Black Americans. It happens because, statistically speaking, when you have 49% of the population, then that's what happens. So for those that you hear saying, oh, this is going to be overturned, whatever happens, of course, they're assuming that it's going to be a guilty verdict, and it might not be. It might not be. We don't know what the verdict is going to be. We only know what the defense is going to be, in my opinion. And what the defense is going to be, because he stated it before he was even interviewed, he stated it according to the affidavit I read. He stated self-defense. So we know what he's going to argue. We know what he's going to argue. Oh, yeah, you know, it's going to be interesting. You can't stab somebody. This is my opinion. I always tell you when I'm telling fact versus my opinion. And I believe the law supports my opinion. You can't stab somebody because they grab your arm, because they push you, even because they punch you, depending on the circumstance. Depending on the circumstance, depending on the sides, I told you they're 2 inches different, but there is a weight difference. But you just can't do it. So everyone, again, I'm going to be tracking this case closely. I'm going to see if there's any comments or anything up here. Again, the knife was, and this is important, the knife was concealed in a duffel bag. And he warned him, if you touch me, gosh, I keep forgetting those exact words. I've said it many times. Sorry. Oh, see what happens. Touch me and see what happens. Egging him on, in my opinion, but this is for a jury to decide. And I've given you now at least some food for thought that this wasn't a kid. This wasn't all to the kid, what you see right there. What you see in this smile, well, it's not a smile, what you see in this photo. Yeah, it is an all-white jury. That's what I told. So for everybody, it's an all-white jury, and it's all-white others, and I hopefully explained why, that statistically speaking makes a lot of sense. And also, it's irrelevant. I'm sorry, but legally, people might not like it. It's absolutely irrelevant under the law unless some prejudice can be proven as to why they got rid of the other jurors. The convictions and acquittals are upheld all the time when different people of different races are involved on the juries. And remember, both attorneys have to agree for this jury to be impaneled. So that's where we are. That's why I cannot stand for this to be a race issue. I really want to leave, but I do want to leave you with this issue. Something was going on inside here with this kid. He didn't just all of a sudden wake up and say, I today am going to turn around my GPA, my life, my future, and I'm going to walk into a tent at a track meet, somebody else's tent, and I'm just going to stab somebody. No, there was something going on with this kid. Something going on. Remember, suspended, which we'll see if they get that in, and we'll see if it ends up holding up under the law or if they'll say it's too prejudicial, but that he was suspended for having a knife. I want to end with two things. I'm going to show you again the video of his mother's plea and a little bit about him. Last, I'm going to end with Austin Metcalf's father. And then I just really want to say the best thing about this situation and why I feel good about whatever ends up happening, Carmelo Anthony has an amazing attorney representing him. And that's good. Because we don't want him having a bad attorney. We want his rights completely respected and somebody fighting for him, because he deserves that. We'll see. We'll see what this jury decides. Again, I'm going to end with these last two videos to kind of paint a picture of Carmelo that needs to be painted so you can see both sides of the pancake.
WFAA Plus, including daily recaps of what happened in court. You can watch after.
Sorry.
Many of you have seen this photo of Carmelo Anthony at 17 years old, charged and booked for murder. But there are also these photos, the eldest of four Anthony children.
We wanted to give our children the future we did not have.
Through his family, we know they left Baton Rouge, Louisiana a few years ago, settled here in Frisco, where he attended Centennial High School.
Carmelo Anthony, class of 2025, Centennial High School, Frisco, Texas.
He ran track, played football, and was captain of the team.
What's the number one seed?
his highlights showcasing that talent are still up online. We've learned Carmelo Anthony worked two jobs, was an AB student before the April 2025 stabbing incident at a track meet. It would take him out of school and turn two families' lives upside down.
He's been raised in a two-parent home with structure, stability, love, and we put God first in everything that we do.
Sources close to the family say Carmelo was able to graduate and receive his diploma, but he did not walk the stage or participate in any senior activities.
Explain yourself to Vince.
There hasn't been another public photo or video of Carmelo since he disappeared into this SUV.
I wanted to show that because I showed this, and that's the other side. Vice Lord, probably just a wannabe. But again, could it be possible that conversations he was having, anything online or something, could this have been part of the reason for his motive? Street cred. Why was he walking around a track meet with a knife, everyone? Why was he in somebody else's tent? We're going to find out if it's true, because CBS says it's true. I haven't seen the document. Is it true he gypped school to go to this track meet? That's what we called it, gyp, skip, whatever. Did he do that? If he did that, that looks really bad. We'll hear about it if he did, because that shows far more premeditation. Yeah, I'm going to show just a touch of this.
Respect and peace, that's us.
Love, respect, and peace, that's us.
Love, respect, and peace, that's us.
You know.
Love, respect, and peace, that's us.
Love, respect, and peace, that's us.
You have to see that as a juror. Remember, the jury was not sequestered. And juries don't get sequestered normally, because you can imagine what a huge impediment it is just on your life to say, listen, 10 hours a day, right? You have to get there, process, got to be early. You got to sit through about 8 hours worth of trial, blah, 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 blah. It's a huge, just imagine right now, all of you, you're going to be away. Let's just say 6 to 10 hours every day on this jury trial. You can't be doing what you want to do. You can't have your cell phones. You're not managing your family. You know, tough. And then for the few instances where you're sequestered, now you can't even go home. It is very rare to sequester. And I don't think they should have done it here. Listen, if they didn't do it in the Karen Reed trial, I mean, you know, that is where it should have been done. That was insane. Thousands and thousands. This is just a handful of people. Well, thank you so much, Gail McGinty. Listen, what you're going to get here are both sides. I'm going to tell you the good with the ugly and let you all decide. I want to end on this, though, and this is Austin Metcalf's father, what he has to say about this.
I want to clarify something right off the start, because I've already heard some rumors and some gossip. This was not a race thing, and this is not a political thing. Please do not comment if you do not know what happened. Do not turn this into a racial thing. It was not. Do not politicize this. It's not. This is a human being thing. This person made a bad choice, and it affected both his family and my family forever. It's a very unfortunate thing, but I know exactly what was happening. His brother was there, who tried to save him, and he died in his arms.
So if you weren't
there, please don't spread rumors.
And I think that that's really important. So that's his side of it. And this is the father. I mean, I can promise you, if this was our son who was stabbed to death underneath his sporting tent, I wouldn't allow my husband to be on camera, because I know he would be so angry and so hurt. But nevertheless, I'll continue to keep digging. Everything that happens in that trial, I'm going to try to find a measured, because anytime you are, and this has happened, for instance, on the Delphi case, it was, that was the most frustrating case I've ever had to be a part of, to be such a huge part of that, and to then have everything sequestered and only a few individuals in the courtroom, and then such differing views of what happened during that trial. That was the most frustrating case I've ever been a part of. This case, I'm going to try to find measured reporting that isn't emotional reporting, but that reports to us the facts. In other words, this is what happened. This is what he did, like that affidavit that I was reading from. I think it's important to know that. So let's keep track of this. Let's see what happens. I'm just hopeful that people keep race out of it and look at it for what it was. And that is a vicious, vicious stabbing. And we're going to see if it was justified in terms of a self-defense claim. All right, everyone, till next time. Remember, tomorrow, huge Nancy Guthrie segment. I have somebody on that nobody's had on. And this is the guy that does it. This is IGG. He's so intelligent and well-spoken. It's kind of like the Bitcoin person we had on, except for on the IGG that actually does it, has a company. He's amazing. So anyway, I'm looking forward to hearing from him. Love Dr. Fitzpatrick too, obviously. This guy is right in the throes of everything, knows a lot about the labs and things like that. So I'm really looking forward to that. All right, everyone. Until next time, everyone, which is tomorrow at 10 Eastern, may justice be served for all the missing, and may justice be served in this case.
What's up, Us? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.